Blog Talk Radio.
This is Mighty Men of Valor with your host, Reverend Cleveland Howell III, a Living Save Ministries production. We invite you to listen as Reverend Cleveland Howell III teaches young men using sound biblical doctrine and personal life experience how to live a better life in this world. And now, without any further delay, here is your host, Reverend Cleveland Howell III.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I want to welcome each and every one of you tonight to the Mighty Man of Valor Show, and I'm your host for this evening, Reverend Cleveland Howell III, amen. And we want to thank the Lord, amen, for each and every one of you being with us tonight, amen. God is so good to us. He's been so faithful, and he continues to watch over us, amen. So, like always, we want to begin the show this evening with prayer, amen. Father God, we thank you once again, O Lord, for how you watched over us, O God, how you have kept us, Lord, how you have encamped your angels all around us. God, Lord, we need you, and Father, we cannot make it without you, O Lord. We pray for a special anointing tonight, O God. We pray that your will and your way be done. Father, we pray for the backslider tonight. Father, we pray for the one who has gone astray, O Father. Lord, we pray for the one, Lord, who needs a special touch from you, O God. Now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, O God, will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, help us, O God, to be all that you're calling for us to be in these last and evil days. Lord, use us, lead us, and guide us for your glory. And whatever takes place, O God, we'll be ever so grateful and thankful to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, O God, which is due to your holy name. Now speak, O Lord. We pray for the co-workers. We pray for the family members. We pray for all of those, God, who have gone astray. Lord, we know that there's nothing too hard for you, God. And Father, we'll be ever so grateful and thankful to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the Mighty Man of Valor Show, O God. We thank you for this opportunity, O God, to come boldly before your throne of grace. Father, we pray for those who are having situations, Lord, that you would give them peace, O God, that you would give them comfort, O God, in the name of Jesus. O Lord, we know there's nothing too hard for you. So we just ask and pray that your will and your way be done, Lord. Search our hearts, search our minds, search our souls, O God, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord. Encamp your angels around us, God. Protect us from seen and unseen danger, Lord, no matter what we have to face, O God, no matter what we have to go through, O God, you said that your grace is sufficient for us. Now, Lord, help us to do and be all that you've called for us to be, O God. And Father, we'll be forever so grateful and thankful to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I'm your host for this evening, Elder Cleveland Howell III, and we thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Now, we're looking for the Lord to do something special tonight. We just ask and pray that the Lord would have his way. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, amen, I would like for you to turn with me to Romans. Amen. Romans chapter 3 tonight. Amen. A very familiar passage. But Romans chapter 3. And let's look at verse 21, 22, and 23. And the Bible says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen. Well, our lesson for this evening is you don't have to keep falling short. Amen. You don't have to keep falling short. In this world that we are living in today, a lot of people find themselves trying to justify sin, trying to justify living in sin, trying to justify living in unrighteousness. And oftentimes, amen, we think that one sin may be smaller than the other, or this sin is not as bad as another sin. But my friends, tonight, I need you to know that sin is sin. Amen. And sin destroys our relationship, amen, with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must remember that living in sin leads to death, because it disqualifies us, amen, from living with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we look into the text today, we find the Apostle Paul reminding, amen, the church in Rome. The church in Rome was just like many churches today, amen. A lot of folk think that they have been holy their whole life, amen, and they have never committed any type of sin. They have never done anything wrong. They've never had a drink. They've never had a smoke. They've never done anything, amen. But Apostle Paul reminds us tonight in this 23rd verse, he says, "For all have sinned," amen, "and come short of the glory of God." Amen. So we must recognize this thing that we have all come short of the glory of God. But I want to share with someone tonight that you don't have to keep falling short. Amen. And even the psalmist, he reminds us tonight. Let's go to Psalm 51. Amen. Psalm 51. And let's look at how David, he shares with us right from the start. We have all fallen short of God's glory. And the reason is here in this verse 5. He says, "Behold," amen, "I was shapen in iniquity," amen, "and in sin did my mother conceive me." Amen. David knew that we were shapen in sin. Amen. And even though in life we may have come short of the glory of God, I came by the airways tonight to tell somebody that you don't have to keep falling short. You don't have to stay belief the privileges that God has designed for your life. Amen. You don't have to continue to be shortchanged. Someone needs to know tonight, you don't have to keep falling short. Amen. We must remember that Christ paid the price for our sins on the cross at Calvary. Amen. And if you find yourself falling short, amen, we must repent and ask God to get us back in right standards so that we can start walking again with the Lord. Amen. Apostle Paul was dealing greatly with the church in Rome. And even in the 6th chapter, he continues to share with the church that we as believers should be dead to sin, amen, and not falling short, amen. I love how the Apostle Paul, turn with me to Romans chapter 6 now, amen, and verse 17. Let's look at 6:17, amen, and how the Apostle Paul addresses the church. He said, "But God be thanked," amen, "that ye were the servants of sin," amen. See, all of us have fallen short. All of us have come short of the glory of God. He said that ye were the servants of sin. He says, "But we have obeyed from the heart," amen. If you want to stop falling short, if you want to be the man or woman that God has called you to be, what you have to obey from the heart. He said, "That form of doctrine which was delivered you," amen. He's letting them know that you have been taught the doctrines. You have been you have been taught the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I need you to underline this. I need you to highlight this in your Bible. He says, "But ye have obeyed from the heart." Amen. So if your heart is not pure, so if your heart is not right, you'll always keep falling short of God's glory. Amen. So what is it that's going to take for us to keep our hearts clean? Well, first, we have to confess that we didn't mess up. Amen. That's what I love about David. All the things he had gone through, all the stuff that he had to face, he was a man of confession. Amen. And let's go back to Psalm 51 so that we can see maybe this will help somebody tonight that in order to get it right, in order to get your heart right, in order to get your mind right, you have to confess unto God that you've done something wrong. Let's look at Psalm 51. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, amen, according to thy loving kindness, amen, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. He said, blot out my transgressions, Lord. Wipe out my transgressions, God. He says, Lord, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. He was not talking about having a hot shower with some zest soap. He was not talking about having a hot shower or a hot bath, but he was talking about the blood of the Lamb, being able to wash his heart pure, to be able to wash his heart clean in order to get to that right place so that he wouldn't keep falling short of God's glory. Amen. He says, see, this is what confession will do to you. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions. In order to stop falling short, we have to come to a place in our lives where that we confess, Lord, I've messed up. Lord, I've sinned. And repent. Amen. And ask God for forgiveness and get yourself back on your feet. Amen. And that's what I love about he was not ashamed. He said, and my sin is ever before me. In order to keep our hearts clean, we got to know that sin is always trying to knock on the door of our heart. Sin is always trying to enter. Sin is always trying to come in the front room and put his feet on the coffee table. Amen. But we have to acknowledge so that God can cleanse us, so that he can keep us from all unrighteousness. Amen. He says, and my sin is ever before me against thee. Thee only have I sinned, amen, and done this evil in thy sight. Lord, I done messed up before you, O God. I've done all the things that I know I shouldn't have done before you, God. But he's asking the Lord to help him to get his heart right, to make him to be the man that he wants God to make him to be, amen, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, what? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. David knew the only way that his heart was going to be right, he had to confess some stuff. Aren't you tired of falling short of God's glory? Then he goes on into the 18th verse. He said, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. See, once you stop falling short, once you have changed masters from serving the enemy to serving Christ, you'll be free from sin. He says here, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Amen. A willing individual to serve Jesus. Amen. Then he goes on into the 19th verse. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. See, those infirmities cause your heart not to be right, cause you not to obey when God is telling you to obey. Amen. He says, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, sin after sin, fornication after fornication, disobedience unto God, over and over and over and over again. He says, even so now, yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Oh, yes, he says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. My. Isn't that amazing that even though some of you might have thought you were free, you were still living your life in bondage. Amen. Let's go on over here to the 21st verse. Then he says here, what fruit had ye then in those things world are ye now ashamed? He says, what profited you when you were living in? What in sin? What type of fruit do you have to bear for living that life of sin? That's the question that Apostle Paul was asking the saints there in Rome. What fruit do you have? What can you show? What is it that you can show for how you used to live and how you used to talk and how you used to walk? What type of fruit have you shown from that lifestyle? He says, what fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? See, you should be ashamed of how you used to live, how you used to talk, who you used to run with, things that you used to do. You are ashamed of those things. Amen. He says, for the end of those things is death. Apostle Paul was letting them know that the end of those sinful things will lead us right to death. Then he says in the 22nd verse, he says, but now, being made free from sin, amen, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, amen, and the end everlasting life. Then he goes on into the 23rd verse. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Apostle Paul here, he points out true servitudes here, which has different attitudes. He says one will bring death as his wages, and the other results in eternal life. And eternal life is a free gift from God. It is not something that you can earn, it's something that you pay back, amen. You don't have to do anything for it. He says our salvation is a gift of God. Ephesians 2 and 9, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 8 and 9, amen. And the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. Then in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. We shouldn't boast about nothing, but know that it was the grace of God that we are who we are today. Amen. We were saved by his grace, by his loving kindness, by his tender mercy. So Apostle Paul was letting us know there are two different servitude. Amen. One will bring you death as his wages, and the other results in eternal life. So we need to make a decision tonight so that we don't have to keep falling short of God's glory. Amen. We don't have to fall short. You don't have to keep slipping and sliding, but you can walk straight when your heart is obedient to the word of God. Amen. Then he goes on and shares with us here in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Amen. And the Bible says this, Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're going to need some help from God. We're going to, not by your works, not by your righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Amen. By the mercy of God, by the grace of God, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's go on down to verse 6. He says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. Then he goes on, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, amen, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. It's good. The gift of God is good for each and every one of us, but we have to accept Christ as our personal Savior, or else you won't receive this. This is the best gift you could ever have. You thought you had a gift, But this gift of eternal life is the best gift that you could ever receive in your life. Amen. Nothing can compare to the gift of God. Amen. He says, why? Because Christ paid the debt of sin, so you don't have to keep falling short. Someone listening right now, and you're wondering deep inside your heart, what is it that keeps making me fall short of God's glory? What is it that keeps allowing me to slip and fall and not get to the place where God would have me to be? What is it? Turn with me to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Amen. And we'll see what the Lord, he shares with us. There's three attitudes here that John the Revelator, the Apostle John, shares with us that would help us not to keep falling short of God's glory. And he says here in the 15th verse, he says, love not the world, amen, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. You can't love the world and say that you have a right relationship with Christ. Oil and water doesn't mix. Amen. So we have to realize that no matter what it is, the reason why we keep falling short of God's glory is because we still love the world, the way of the world, the things of the world, the things that the world does, we still love. And that's why we keep falling short of the glory of God. So what is it that continues to allow us to trip and fall? Is because our hearts are not right. When your heart is not right, you'll always be in love with the world. You always have a desire to do what the world will have you to do because you're not totally committed to Jesus. Amen. You're not totally committed, because if you were, you wouldn't be doing things that the world does. Then he goes on into the 16th verse, and he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. See, he gives us these things. He says, love not the world. Some people think that worldliness is limited to external behavior. The people we associate with, the places we may go, amen, the activities we enjoy, my friends, worldliness is also internal because it begins in the heart. Amen. Then we move on. Apostle John shows us three attitudes. He says one is the lust of the flesh. Amen. This is those gratifying physical desires, things that we got to have, things that we think that we really need. Then he goes on, secondly, to the lust of the eyes, those craving and accumulating things, those personal desires, the god of materialism. Amen. Always want to look like the world, always want to dress up, always want to have what the world has. What about having what Christ has for your life? Amen. Christ paid the price for your sins. Why not choose Jesus? Why not give God a second chance? Why not allow him to come in your heart and allow you to be the man or woman that he is designed for you to be? Amen. Why not? We've given everything else a chance. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? What about him? What about him? He says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, self-interest, obsessed with one's status or importance. These are the same things that the enemy used to tempt Eve in the garden. Look at your reference in the book of the Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Amen. These things will always have you falling short of God's glory. I'm reminded tonight of a young man, amen, here in Luke chapter 15. Amen. Turn with me. Amen. He thought he had it going on at one point in his life. Amen. But for some
strange reason, he found himself falling short of God's glory. Amen. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Amen. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion, amen, of goods that falleth to me. See, he was already talking about falling. He said, Daddy, give me what is was due to me. I don't want to wait. I want my inheritance now. Amen. He says, of goods that falleth to me. And he did divide unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. See, this young man, he got beside himself, amen. He couldn't wait for his daddy to give him the inheritance at a certain point or a certain time in his life. He wanted everything now. And the Bible says that he wasted everything by riotous living. He was out in the streets. He was doing all the things that he had no business doing. Amen. When he was falling short of God's glory. Amen. Then he goes on here and he says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, amen, and he began to be in want, amen. When you fall short of God's glory, you will be in want. You will have some needs. You will have some desires, whether you won't be able to meet any of them, and that's where this young man found himself. He was in want. He was in need. Why? Because he had fell short of the glory of God, amen. And so then he goes on. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. Now, here he goes from living well to having all to feeding pigs. Amen. Feeding him in the fields. This is where his life, this is what happens when you fall short of God's glory. You go from living good to living with pigs and to living with dogs, to living beneath the privileges that God had designed for your life. Amen. So he says here, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Oh, boy. He woke up now, verse 17, and when he came to himself, see, sometimes what it's going to take is that we got to wake up. We got to shake up. We got to realize that we have fallen. Amen. We have to confess to ourselves. We have to realize that we have fallen short of God's glory. He said, when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Amen. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20, and he arose and came to himself and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Amen. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Amen. The son realized, he confessed that he had fell short, amen, of the glory of God. Amen. Confession is good for the heart. God says, if thou confess with your mouth, he said, he is faithful and just to forgive you. Amen. You just have to. You have to confess it. Lord, I done messed up. Lord, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my wrongdoing, oh God. Help me to get back to the place where I need. You have to be sincere when you repent. Amen. Sincere. He says here, but the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they begin to be merry. But let me tell you this. There's always going to be somebody who's not going to be happy that you have gotten out of a life of sin. There are some folk in your life who want you to stay fallen short of God's glory. And that's what his brother was doing. His brother was upset that his father was so happy that his lost son had come home. And that's all Christ is about. He wants us to come home. He's so excited when he says, I stand at the door and knock. He says, let me in so that I can come in and sup with you. Christ wants to sup with you tonight, but you got to let him in to your heart. You got to let him in, and someone's not letting him in tonight. Amen. You have been falling short for so long. Why don't you give Christ a chance to come into your life, amen, and to turn and to change your life around and to be your personal Savior, to be the God of your life. This is what Jesus wants to do for you so that you can stop falling short of God's glory. You don't have to fall short. You can get it right tonight. Amen. You can get it right tonight. This young man knew he had messed up. He knew that he was way out of line. Amen. But he was sorrowful. And the father says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dance. And amen. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fat of calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this day thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fattest calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Amen. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and now is found. What about you tonight? How long are you going to be lost and found? How long are you going to be falling short of God's glory? How long? The Bible doesn't say how long he was gone, but how long have you been out? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 30 years. Someone's listening tonight have been falling short for 43 years. Oh, yes. And God says, tonight is your night to get it right. He wants you to have first place in his life. What about you? What about you? You need to confess. You need to ask God to forgive you of your sins. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do tonight. Let's go to Romans as we prepare to close. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He says, for the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Then he goes on, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Then he goes on, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Amen. In whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. And how shall they preach except they be sent? God wants you to stop falling short. He wants you to stop falling short. He wants you to come on in and have a right relationship with him. See, because of what I've realized, my friends, is in life, we've given so many things a chance. Liquor, alcohol, women, men, whatever you've done, you've gave everything else a chance. And listen, all of those things have caused you to fall short of the glory of God. But just like the prodigal son, when he came to his senses, he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and thee. And just like that father was full of compassion for that son to come home, Christ is full of compassion waiting on you tonight. He's waiting on you tonight to come on home. He's waiting on you tonight to repent with your whole heart. He's waiting on you. And I'm asking you, what are you going to do? He said, I stand at the door and knock. See, because, listen, let's go to Hebrew 12, then we close now. Hebrew 12. See, because, listen, there's some people watching you. There's some people who have gone on to be with the Lord who are still praying for you so that you don't have to keep falling short. See, verse 12, Hebrew chapter 12, verse 1, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, folks are cheering you on so that you can stop falling short of God's glory. He says, with so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He says, just looking, see, in order to stop falling short of God's glory, he gives us in, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You don't have to keep falling short. You can ask for forgiveness tonight. You can. All you got to do is confess it now. How easy is that? How easy is that? All you got to do is ask the Lord to forgive you. He says it. Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. And then we're out. He said, but what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart. See, you got to believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there one tonight? Is there one tonight who wants to accept Christ
as their personal Savior? Is there one who wants to ask the Lord for forgiveness? Is there one who wants to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned. Lord, help me to get back in right standing with you. Help me to live a life, God, that's pleasing to you. Is there one? Is there one who just wants to pray? Maybe you have some family. Maybe you have some of the coworkers. Maybe you have some folk who know they're not right. We need to pray for them. Why? So that they don't have to keep falling short. I have some friends. I have some the coworkers. I have some folk who every day they keep letting the devil use them. Amen. Some of them want to be little boys. Some of them want to be little girls. And that's against God's law. It's against God's rule, God's way for lives. For a man to want to be a woman. For a woman to want to be a man. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. That's why you keep falling short, because your mind ain't right. He said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Evangelist Beecham, can you pray for us tonight?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Heavenly Father. We come here tonight as your man servant preached the word tonight, Father God. We thank you for the wonderful word that he has spoken, Father God. And Father God, he just didn't speak it with his words, Father God. He spoke it with your spirit, Father God, the compassion that you gave him and the conviction that which he believed in your word. Now, Father God, we pray for all the ears that heard the word, Father God. You said, them that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father God, you have spoken tonight through your man, sir. Now, Father God, as I pray for someone out there, Father God, I ask you too to touch me, Father God, because I want to be the first partaker of what I say, Father God. I need you too, Father God. I need you to watch over me. I need you to keep me, Father God, in your care, Father God. I need you, Father God. As I pray for someone, Father God, they need to see, Father God, that as I pray for them, Father God, whoever that needs some chains or some bondage or some yokes to be broken, Father God, I need some to stay away from me. I need some to be broken off me too, Father God. For the gospel said, Father God, for the gospel which I preach, Father God, I am not ashamed. And I'm not ashamed as I pray for someone, Father God, and say I need prayer too, Father God. Because, Father God, I know you can reach all of us, Father God. Now, Father God, we thank you for Elder Howard, Father God. We thank you for his vision that, you know, he want to save and reach people and touch people, not with his power, Father God, but with your spirit that you invested in him, Father God. We thank you for him, Father God, returning it back to you, presenting his body back to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, but was his reasonable service. He failed, Father God. Give it back unto you what you have gave to him, Father God. Now, Father God, I want to give myself back to you, Father God, as a living sacrifice, Father God. I want to recommit myself back to you, Father God. I want to refocus myself, Father God, on my obligation and my charge that I took, Father God. I have fallen short, as your man servant said, we have fallen short. And he just wasn't talking about anybody. He said, all of us have fallen short. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he was telling us how we can restore ourselves by confession and believing. And he told us that we are restored, Father God. He told us your blood was shed, Father God, abroad, Father God, not just here, Father God, abroad, all over the place, Father God. Your blood was shed for the lost, to the one that want to hear, to the one that want to believe. It was preached tonight, Father God, in the fullness of salvation for the past, the present, and the future. Now, as I close, Father God, continue to bless this show, because, Father God, it's producing fruits, Father God. We might not be the way we see it, Father God, but he has touched someone, Father God.
My Lord.
But someone is weak in faith to come forward right now, Father God. But we do know, Father God, that you are doing an increase right now as he ministers to us through the word, Father God. Now, touch all the leaders, Father God. Touch all the leaders across the world, Father God, all the preachers, Father God, the ones that profess and proclaim to preach your word, touching, Father God, but let them be convicted by the same thing that they're preaching, Father God. Let us be first partaker of what we're preaching, Father God. Let us examine ourselves, Father God. You say in Psalm 26, try me.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying right now. Let all us try you, Father God. Let all us examine ourselves, Father God. This your servant prayer, many other blessings. I pray, Father God, in your name, in your power, in your strength, Father God. Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that prayer. Amen. Amen. So we thank the Lord for each and every one of you being with us tonight here on the Mighty Man of Valor show. God is good to us, and we just want to make sure that we don't fall short of God's glory, you know, because we need to ask ourselves, where would we be? What would we be doing without the grace and the compassion and the love of God? So we thank you for being with us tonight on the Mighty Man of, on the Mighty Man of Valor show. I'm your host, Elder Cleveland Hogg III. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you. We're looking forward to you being with us next week, same place, same time. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.